Well, if you would please, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to, I think we read a little bit of this a few weeks ago, but I want to go back and look at this in a little bit of detail. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at some things in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, then we went into 5. And we just considered how that, you know, we are building toward eternity, that our lives really mean something. And that the hope is something that is critical in standing. The hope is really the return of Jesus Christ, where this all ends. That's the point. And sometimes, you know, what happens is people make this life the point. And that can have negative effects sometimes. Not understanding what this is really all about and putting too much emphasis on, you know, things today. And then gauging yourself as to whether you're a successful believer or Christian by these things. And we see some of this in Corinth. Let me rephrase that. We see a lot of this in Corinth. And then last week we considered how that in Christ we are righteous. There's nothing that we can do to undo that. We're going to see that this morning. If we have time, I'd like to land, and if not, we'll pick it up next week. But I'd like to land in 1 Corinthians 3 and spend some time there. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, and I'd like to go through it in some detail because it is eye-opening in understanding, you know, what it is that's talking about and specifically what it's talking about. In approaching these things, one thing that needs to be understood is that you and I have been judged in Christ. In Christ, you have been judged. You are righteous. You are sanctified. We're going to see this as we read here. Those things were all accomplished in Christ. But there is a sanctification that I carry out and then I grow in as I continue to build who I am in Christ. Which we're going to see in the opening here of 1 Corinthians and what it is that Paul, by revelation, says and how he addresses this church. And this church definitely had its problems. The cool thing about Corinthians, though, is that when you get to 2 Corinthians, they responded. So it's got a good ending. But, you know, just getting there, you read through some of this stuff. But, you know, the culture that they were a part of, you know, the knowledge, the wisdom, the science, the all this stuff. You ever hear such a thing? It's really not too dissimilar from ours. So many of the things that they deal with, we deal with in our culture. Another point about, you know, looking at some of these things is that you see how that culture in Corinth, and Corinth was like, it was like the glory of Greece. You know, it was a intellectual center. It was a religious center. It was a trade center. It was a lot of stuff. And so what you see here as you read is that although they were sanctified, although they were righteous, although they had the Spirit of God, they were sons of God, rather than who they were in Christ affecting the things that they were surrounded in, the things that they were surrounded with was affecting them. And they were carrying those things into their worship, into their walks. And it was justified in any number of ways. The flesh is expert at that. Flesh can justify anything. It's amazing. That's why we need the Word of God. So, well, we'll see where we land. But I want to begin here in verse 1. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 1. You know what? I'm going to read through this and then we'll come back. It says, Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ and our Lord. All right, Sydney, I'm going to mute you. Oh, he's muted now. Okay, good. And then it says, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, then it's both theirs and ours. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's quite an opening. back to verse 1, something neat to see here. It says, Paul called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. Okay. This Sosthenes, because there's no other introduction, was most likely somebody they would have known well at the church of Corinth. If you go to Acts 18, beginning in verse 1, you can read about Paul's time in Corinth. He would go into the synagogues and he would preach Christ. That's where he met Aquila and Priscilla. It was there in Corinth. And as he was in Corinth preaching, Jesus Christ appeared unto him and said, you stay here. I'm not going to let any harm come to you. And, you know, preach the gospel. He says, I have many in this city. And so that's what Paul did. And he stayed for around a year and 6 months. And then, while he was there, and this is kind of neat, light of what Jesus Christ has said, I'm not going to let any harm come to you. Gallio, he was a magistrate. Well, I believe it was the Judeans, had raised a big ruckus. And it was basically a riot. Paul was staying at a home right next to one of the synagogues, and Justus was the ruler of that synagogue. Well, Justus and his whole family got born again. So, anyway, they come before Gallio, and they want Paul imprisoned and so on, those that are with him. Well, there was a man named Sosthenes, which had taken over the synagogue because Justus got born again. Isn't that something? Well, this Sosthenes, he's there at this riot thing. And so they approach Gallio. Gallio, you know, what he says is, you know what? This is pertaining to your law. I don't want anything to do with it. Get out of here. Well, they end up beating up Sosthenes. You know? It's very likely that this is the Sosthenes, that he got born again and was with Paul when he wrote this epistle. Isn't that neat? Because it would have been somebody that was just simply known by the Corinthian believers. I don't know. I just think that's so cool. Then it says, verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Okay? Then it's again called to be saints. The word sanctification and the word saints is a word that means to be set apart. It's translated holy. It's translated separate. It's translated different things, but it means to be set apart. Okay? And that setting apart was done in Christ. It was accomplished by him. Hebrews, and I just wrote it down. We're not going to turn there. Hebrews 10:14, it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified or set apart. It's a done deal. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was so complete that what he accomplished cannot be undone. Cannot be undone. Okay? Lays it out pretty clearly there in Hebrews. But what he's doing here is he's laying out who they are, what they've been made by the work of Jesus Christ. Another thing, you know, to notice is that Jesus Christ, in these verses that we're reading, I believe are used 10 times, 9 or 10 times. There's a point to that. Because he's bringing their attention to the head of the body, to Jesus Christ. You get a little clue of that in this verse. Called saints, and then it says, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And what that means is, it is all those who are born again, not just Corinth, but the whole church, the body, of which they were a part of. Then it says, both theirs and ours. Okay? Now, this is addressed to the saints at Corinth, and this theirs and ours, well, you sort of begin to understand it down here in verse 12. Now, this I say, that every one of you says I'm of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas or Peter, and I of Christ. What it's going to begin dealing with in verse 10 of this chapter is the division that was taking place at Corinth. And we'll see a little bit, if we get to chapter 3, we're going to see a little bit more regarding that. But that division was doing great damage to this church. They were lauding their preferred teacher, their preferred whatever. They were identifying with others, as wonderful as they might have been, and God's going to address that here, as wonderful as they might have been, they were identifying with them rather than Jesus Christ. And that's where this is going to take it. See, Jesus Christ is the head. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the one who gave his life. Jesus Christ is the one that sanctified you, not Peter. Not Apollos. It was Jesus Christ. Not even Paul. It was Jesus Christ. Then it's grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf or concerning you for the grace of God which is given you by or in, is what it should read, in Christ Jesus, or in Jesus Christ. I think the text is Christ Jesus. For the grace that is given you in Christ Jesus. And that grace is unearned. That grace is unmerited. It's undeserved. And that was given them in who? In Christ Jesus. Verse 4. I thank my God. Oh, I'm sorry. We just read verse 4. Verse 5. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony or the witness of Christ was confirmed or established in you. You guys understand what enriching means. That they would be enriched by him in all utterance. That's the word logos. Okay. In all utterance and in all knowledge. Now I just want to point something out here because in Corinth, the spoken word and the thinking behind that spoken word, which is what logos means, okay, and the uttering of those things was something that the Corinthians were very enamored with. They were very enamored with what's referred to as world wisdom. Okay? And knowledge. You know, that knowledge... There was a seeking of knowledge. And that is also addressed in Corinthians. We'll see later on where, you know, where is the wisdom of this world? Where is the disputer? It's a word meaning for trial lawyer of world wisdom. Okay? And we'll see that. Because God in Christ has made utter foolishness of the wisdom, the thinking, the utterance of the world. You know, to the Judeans, the preaching of the cross was a stumbling block. To the Greeks, the preaching of the cross was stupid. The Judeans are wrong. The Gentiles are wrong. See, and ultimately, God's going to have the final say, no matter what it looks like. See, Jesus Christ is Lord, and you want to remember that he's Lord not by virtue of you making him Lord. He is Lord by virtue of God having made him Lord. I can then choose to make him Lord in the sense that my life, the actions, my words, my bring honor to him and glory to my God. And that's something that we grow in. We're not going to make it to chapter 3 today. That's all right. Then it says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed or established in you. The word testimony is the word for witness. OK. Okay. Witness. It's actually from a Greek word. I think this is from martyrion. We get the word martyr from it. And, you know, there are sectors of the Christian church that, you know, laud the martyr. He is the witness, the martyr. But a great example is Stephen in Acts chapter 7. What was his witness? The fact that he got stoned to death, or the words that he spoke by spirit? See, that they couldn't withstand. That was the witness. So this witness was established or confirmed in these saints in that they had Holy Spirit. Now, we'll read, you know, you read later on in Corinthians that some of these things were misused. Some of these things were misunderstood. They were walking by their flesh rather than by spirit. It was about self rather than others. And these are the things that they needed to learn so that their actions and lives would line up with what we're reading here, who they were in Christ. And I'm so thankful to know these things. Because, you know, you do, you have, and we've all met people who, you know, have a hard time. They really have a hard time shaking the idea of salvation by works or maintaining salvation. Primarily, it's usually maintaining salvation. You know, it's just sad. Then you've got people, you know, on the other end of the spectrum. It's like, grace, baby. You know, they're just as wrong. They're just as wrong. So, verse 7, it says, well, let me read 6 again. Even as the witness of Christ was established in you, so that, and King James reads, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. A better translation of this, and I'm taking this from the Working Translation. I forget what the ESV says. There's some other good translations too, but it's so that you do not lack in even one aspect of the gift while you are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This word coming is it's from the word apocalypsis, and it means an unveiling, a revealing, something that was not seen or clear, but is made plainly visible. That's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read this, it was the week before last, I think it's used in 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial, you remember this? The trial of your believing, that's that word dokimazo, the trial of your believing being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And it's also used, this is, word is used in Romans 8:19. And we read that a couple of weeks ago. And it's where the whole creation is waiting, eagerly anticipating the revealing, the apocalypsis of the sons of God. There's a day coming when Jesus Christ is going to return. And it's going to be very clear who he is. There's going to be no mistake. It's not like, which one's Jesus? It's not going to work like that. It's going to be really obvious. You know, but there's also a day coming when who we are in Christ will be revealed in its fullness. when we come back with him. Isn't that awesome? And these are real things. This is really going to happen. All of this is really going to happen. Then it says in verse 8, who shall also confirm or establish you in the end, that you may be blameless, unimpeachable, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. This day of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, the day of Jesus Christ is referring to that coming, that gathering together. This is not the day of the Lord, as talked about in other places in the Word. That day of Jesus Christ is our gathering together. When we gather together with him, we're going to see him face to face. In one sense, we sort of live between resurrections. And I saw this, I thought, wow, what a neat perspective. We have the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the first begotten from the dead. And by that resurrection life, we have resurrection life born within. Isn't that cool? And we live, and the church lives, or is to live, by way of that resurrection life. But there's a day coming at the return of Jesus Christ. Now, those who are not, have not fallen asleep in Christ, they will simply be changed, but many are going to be resurrected. They're going to be given new bodies. That's going to be a great day. Yeah, it is. Anyway, who shall establish you unto the end, that you might be unimpeachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9. Verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Everything that God does is done in Christ. All that we have is done in Christ. The beauty of that is that it's based on his works, never on yours. And it can't be undone. We have been called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? Now that word fellowship, it's a word that means a full sharing. Okay? It's a full sharing. When you have genuine, you know, fellowship with another person, with another saint, there's a full sharing in that. There's a there's a depth to that kind of thing that is just, it's amazing. It's so sweet. Really, you see that in a marriage. You know, that full sharing between a husband and a wife. And that's something you kind of got to grow into. It doesn't happen overnight. You know what I mean? We're married now. Okay. No, it takes a little time. It's similar to the fellowship that you and I have been called to with Jesus Christ, his Son. In Christ, God has opened the resources of heaven. I mean, we have access to him. We have access to the throne of grace. We have access to his mercy. We have the Spirit of God. We have access to his wisdom in situations. There's so many things that boom, he has opened up to us. So in that full sharing, should not then our resources be available to him? Okay. If we hold back on that, is that full sharing? Is that what God's called us to? You know, it's a one-way street. I take these things of God, and I kind of hog them to myself. You know? I think I'm going to pray today. I think I'll just pray for me. You ever hear such a thing? Now, you know, sometimes when you're just getting in the Word, you know, I've seen people do that. That's fine. Yeah, kids. You know, kids they're goofy. But they learn. They grow. We're all goofy. We all learn. We grow. That's the idea. You know, we grow in this stuff. And as we grow in it, it becomes less and less about self. And it becomes more about others. And we have the Spirit of God leading, teaching, bringing things to our remembrance. Thank God for that. Because we couldn't do it otherwise. Because we're idiots without the Spirit of God. All we have is the flesh. That's what we pursue, is the flesh. I want to read one more verse that I wrote down here in light of this full sharing with God. 1 John 1:7, and I'm going to read the working translation for this one also, because it's a great translation. And it reads, on the other hand, if we walk in the light as he is, referring to God, then in the light we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every what? Every sin. We fellowship when we are walking in light. Because God is what? He's light. He's not going anywhere. He's going to stay light. We come to him. We up our game. God doesn't have to up his. He's good. But when we figure these things out and we start to grow in this and start to walk accordingly, we're in that light, and that fellowship is sweet. It's genuine. See? And we reap the benefits. The confidence that comes with that. You know, that's one of the benefits of building the Word in your heart and walking it and living it. It's confidence. It's confidence before your God. It's confidence before your Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Talks about that in 1 John. See, all of these kinds of things issue from this as we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, could happen at any moment. So I think that's where we'll stop. I think next week we're going to look at a couple other things on our way to chapter 3. And I think it's just going to help put a lot of these things in the right perspective.